Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out.
I think you'd probably call this the first major semifinal of the Olympics, at least for one of the U.S. teams in team sports. The U.S. women are playing Germany right now in Olympic soccer. The U.S. won an extra time game on Saturday. They beat, Japan. They beat Japan with a Trinity Robin goal. So 2 days later, they play Germany for a chance to get to the gold medal game. Both teams played on Saturday, so we'll see if fatigue becomes a problem. And both teams played 120 minutes. The Germans won on penalties against Canada. Someone I saw tweeted, cheating never prospers. Well, after they stopped cheating, got caught. But when they were cheating and not getting caught, they prospered fine.
Yeah.
Not exactly sure that was the right way to put it. But the Canadians are out. The Germans face Team USA with a chance at the gold medal. Either way, the U.S. has another game. If they don't win, they'll play for the bronze. Hopefully, that's not the case, as they almost scored on a set piece. So, good start for them. We'll see how it goes.
I think something about the bronze medal game in Olympic sports, in World Cups, something about it strikes me as so un-American that I don't think, even if the U.S. team has the better team, I think just the fact it's a bronze medal game, the U.S. will care so much less than the opponent.
It is a giant disappointment.
It's like a cultural, but it feels like more cultural thing where
the bronze,
the U.S. is just like, bleep this.
Yeah, and generally in the World Cup, like if our American team, our American men ever made a semifinal, they'd care about finishing third because it's just new ground.
Yeah.
But to your point, like the women would probably make a lot of changes as far as their starting 11 to play in the game. They would see whatever happens. Even though a medal is at stake, the difference between the World Cup and this, at least there's a medal at stake. The World Cup is just like, hey, we just got an extra game for you losers. You see, you want to play in it?
Just to call you third place.
Yeah.
Just to say who finished in third.
And if you're a nation who's never been that far before, finishing third is pretty cool. Winning your last game in the World Cup is pretty cool. But for like if you had aspirations, real aspirations and were a favorite, playing in a third place game, you're not going to play all your guys. You're just going to give not the players who didn't get a lot of minutes, some time, see how it goes. So it is distinctly, hey, you just lost, keep playing. That's not an American way to go about it. Because normally, when you lose, it's done. We stop playing.
Yeah, we lost. There's nothing else to play for. We don't get the trophy.
Yeah, it's just how it is. What are we doing here? Why do I have to come back for another game? Let me go home.
Yeah, I mean, same thing in the basketball tournaments, too. Where
Did we win the bronze in 2004?
Yeah.
Okay, so they
yeah.
So they actually, well, they probably didn't try that hard. It's just, hey, we're playing this team. It's not that difficult to beat this particular.
Yeah, we lost to Argentina.
Yeah.
And then you're not Argentina in the third place game.
No matter how much we don't care about this, we're probably going to beat you with our B or C effort, and that's what happened. Good start for the U.S. They had a real good chance to score again. So we'll see if Germany can withstand the opening salvo. We move back to the Texans. Blake Fisher is going to play a lot. He'll play with the starters, and I guess he was going to play left tackle if Lambry Tunsil is not going to play. And that means Titus Howard will play right tackle. Blake Fisher in pole position to be your swing tackle for the Texans, just in case there's an injury throughout the year at one of the tackle positions. So DeMeco talked about Blake Fisher standing up in the Hall of Fame game and what he's done in practice against the two big-name pass rushers in Hunter and Anderson.
From the game, I'm pleased with what Blake did in the game. I think he held his own. Again, like everyone, is not 100%. It was things to clean up just with pad leverage, just getting Blake to do a better job of bending, right? But he has the length, he has the tools, right, to play on the left side or right side, as we've seen. And I know he's benefited from being able to get a ton of reps over at the left side, and I think it'll help us as a team. Going against Daniil and Will definitely speed it up for you. So the young rookie has had to learn pretty fast, and it's only made him better. And also, he's had a lot of good reps versus Daniil and Will, so he's held his own. So it hasn't just been totally one-sided as those guys have competed. So Blake has gotten better, but also Daniil and Will has gotten better from going against Blake and Titus as well.
So this is all camp stuff. You never know, although we do have evidence that he played pretty well in the Hall of Fame game. I'm just thinking about where they would go. Like, say Blake Fisher is clearly one of your best five linemen, but right now he's exclusively a tackle. We know Titus Howard's feelings on playing guard. Right tackle only. We know that's how he feels. He's under contract through 2026. Lambry Tunsil is not losing a spot as long as he wants to be here. How long are you keeping Blake Fisher off the field if he's as good as what we've heard so far? As I said, early days, it's just camp. But he is a second-round pick. At some point, you want to play him. He's not going to be a swing tackle for the next two seasons, it doesn't feel like. Mm-hmm. So if Titus Howard, we know, is so against playing guard and, in fact, is not a good guard, if Blake Fisher is what they say he is, either you're playing your best five and convincing Titus Howard to go to guard, and hopefully that gets better, or right tackle only is going to go because you got the cheaper option. And remember, all the caveats of he's only a rookie. It's early. But this is another positive review from one of their rookies. And maybe the only reason he's not starting is because you have two high-priced tackles on the roster right now.
Yeah, I think for this year, I think it's a pretty short-term problem, as much as it is a problem to have too many good tackles.
Sure.
We saw it last year. It actually reminds me a lot about the Astros pitching conversation that we were having earlier, where, hey, this is a long season. People are going to get hurt. Having depth isn't a bad thing. So, again, coming into a season with too many tackles, I'll take that. Kenyon Green or Jared Patterson, high ankle sprain away from, hey, right tackle only.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Despite what you want.
Yeah, move to the left a little. And now you're starting Blake Fisher at right tackle. It doesn't even have to be injuries to guard that move Titus to that position. It could be an injury to either Tunsil or Howard that happens. So I think that this for 2024, there's not really it's not really that big of a controversy, or there's not many moves that need to be made for this. Now, if Fisher gets out there or just continues to have good practice out there, and he looks like he's ready to be the starter next year, because like you said, he's a second round pick, like he's going to have to start for you at some point. I think it's more of an off-season conversation of what can you get for Titus Howard if it comes to that.
I would agree. This isn't just me future casting in the most positive scenario where you have three legit tackles on your roster and you need to find a place for one of them. And the one of them will be Blake Fisher. He's the younger one who's not getting paid very much. What do you do? What do you do? And if that's the problem, cool. He's still a young player, but so far so good. I would think right tackle only is the one left out in the cold. And I say that like he doesn't have a deal that's going to comfort him and make him very warm. If he's either moved to a different position or the Texans decide to trade him.
He'll find a way to make rent. That's true. No matter what happens.
That's true. The thing is, are we sure Titus Howard's a good right tackle? I want to see that.
That's the interesting part to me is that, like, Titus Howard's not so good. It's not Tunsil. Like, we're not talking about Fisher taking Tunsil's
not
spot.
Not a chance.
It's talking about taking Howard's spot because that's realistic. Or more realistic at the very least. That, yeah, Howard's not – he's good. I feel like he is a solid right tackle.
And if he was a great right tackle, they're probably not taking Blake Fisher in the second round.
Exactly.
They're using even if they were in desperate need of a swing tackle, either they're, throwing some money, not good money, at a swing tackle free agent, or drafting a guy on day three. But they went out and got one on day two. So I'm not sure they believe Titus Howard is a good right tackle, at least not one that's going to be around for the next 5-6 years.
I mean, on most teams, there's only a handful of guys that are – absolutely, without a doubt, like, not getting their replacement drafted.
Sure.
Like, there's just not that many of those guys in the league that, I mean, I think Tunsil's at that spot where there's no replacement plan for Laremy Tunsil at the moment. There's nothing because the organization expects him to be with the team for a while. Howard's not one of those guys.
No.
So I feel like it's fair that he's under kind of constant evaluation and seeing how good is he and can we get better at that spot.
Yeah, the money they gave him,
cheaper.
The money they gave him, I think for some was, and myself included, was surprising that you are investing in this particular individual who are we even really sure is a solid right tackle. Now, he didn't get the opportunity last year because of injuries to prove it. Certainly this year he will have that opportunity, and I guess it starts on Friday if the starters are going to play. I do think it's you want to build depth. You want to plan for the future, and Blake Fisher's now might come quicker than we thought as far as the praise he's been getting. We will get back into the Astros. They do have a game tonight. And I'll give you some of the numbers from the guy they're facing, a guy who hasn't pitched in over 15 months, but at least he was good on the minor league level. Will it transition to tonight against the Astros? We hope not, because they don't need to see a good pitcher tonight. Their bats have not done well against guys they normally beat up on, like yesterday. So we'll see. We'll also get into the polls. We talked about it a little bit, maybe off there, actually, the college football rankings as far as the coaches. We have that out. We'll talk about that. And Malik Nabers. I've seen a lot of people write stand on business the last couple of days when a fight's happening. Well, Malik Nabers stood on business today. The Giants and the Lions are having practices against each other. Daniel Jones was the center of a fight yesterday because he wasn't going to stand back. Well, Malik Nabers started one today, too. We'll talk about that as well. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. If you have a leak or you have a faulty water heater or you need a repiping done, go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. You can check them out at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. They do the small jobs. They do the large jobs. They do anything you need when it comes to plumbing. Just call them. You want a free price quote? 281-488-6238. That's the number. They're local. They have a local owner in Billy Brown. You hear the guys talk about him in the morning. You hear me talk about him now. That's a guy you want sending someone out to help you with a problem. Local contractors who are experienced, they've done over 1,000 repiping, so they know they can handle the big jobs and anything in between. AqueductPlumbingCompany.com. That's my mic almost fell off. Maybe this mic has a leak. Billy Brown could probably fix this if he wanted to, but he just works with pipes and water. Just go to AqueductPlumbingCompany.com.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So Fromber goes tonight for the Astros. The Rangers have a Tyler Malley on the mound. Sean and I were trying to figure out how to say his name. Can't blame us. The man hasn't pitched in 15 months, at least on the major league level. He's coming off of Tommy John surgery. Lance McCullers could never. That timetable, 15 months between major league outings, could never. but he has been pretty good in the minors. He was a Twin and was a Red. He'll start tonight. They signed him in December as a free agent. And in the minors, just giving you his most recent outings, in 18 innings, had an ERA at 2.5, and this was over 6 rehab starts over the last month. So we'll see him tonight. And the gallows humor of this show thinks he's at least getting through 5 with 2 runs given up. And Sean thinks 8 strikeouts just because of what the Astros have done recently.
Just because the bottom half of the lineup.
It's been terrible.
The bottom like 2/3.
Yeah, you're giving some other guys too much credit. It's not just the bottom part of the lineup.
There's some guys, Alex Bregman hit a home run.
That's true.
Before that, though.
Pretty bad.
And after that.
Between the home runs he's hit in the last couple games, he's been pretty bad.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't have, what I was thinking is what you mentioned, the 15 months of rehab. I always wonder when guys have, or when other teams have guys that come back from injuries, I just have a split second of like, I wonder, was there constant updates and backsliding and setbacks that weren't called setbacks, and actually they said it was a neck, but really it's a shoulder or an elbow. Like, do other teams do this, or is this just an Astros? Because I think it's safe to say for everyone at the station that the Astros are the only team that we follow closely.
Yeah, like I don't know closely. How many people at the station are watching other baseball games night to night.
Well, just enough to where they're – or getting enough news from these teams where they're getting a constant injury updates from other teams' pitchers. Like, no, is anyone locked in on, like, what Twins pitchers' rehab is going like and what the GM of the Twins is saying on his Sunday morning interview? Like, is anyone – no one's doing that.
There's no one doing that. The only candidate would probably be Branham, but I don't think even he knew that Tyler Malley
Malley.
I'm getting confused by what we think he should be called. Malley was no, it's Molly.
Male.
It's not male.
It's Malley.
It's Malley. It's Malley.
It's O'Malley without the O.
Yes, there it is. That's how I remember. I don't think even he was keeping track. Oh, Tyler Malley's making his way back after 15 months away from Major League Baseball.
Maybe Joel with the Brewers? I don't know.
Possibly.
Because I know he's still in on the Bucks.
But do other teams even give updates like this? Or they're just like, you know what? Or even question. I don't. The thing is, no one's asking questions about Tyler Malley. Like, yeah, Mass McCullers, for all the jokes, has been part of some really good teams. Malley signed in December as a free agent. No one with the Rangers is wanting updates on him.
Yeah.
So probably not. He doesn't have the pelts on the wall. That would make anyone concerned whether he's coming back or not. Oh.
They also, I mean, specifically the Rangers, they have DeGrom and Scherzer who are
hurt.
Yeah.
Have injury hurt. Issues.
Well, always hurt. Always rehabbing.
Always so, hurt.
You know what? Maybe that's where the angst of the fan base goes to, is like DeGrom just constantly doesn't pitch.
Yeah. DeGrom, McCullers, although they don't have as long a history with McCullers as Astro fans do. But, yeah, we're talking about big names who you want to pitch and aren't pitching.
That's just the thing I always wonder when I'm watching Space City Home Network and they're like, yeah, this guy missed most of this year. I'm like, were there 15 confusing updates in between during his IL?
That contradicted themselves day to day?
Yeah, no, there wasn't. Okay.
No, I'm sure. Cool. It seems like this is an Astros thing, and maybe other people are very straightforward. I would be like, why are you asking about Tyler Malley? You know you don't care about him.
Oh, that's what GM Delalea,
the
GM
Rangers would
the
say?
Rangers.
Come on, guys. Why are we wasting our time with this guy?
Come on.
Stop asking me questions about Tyler Malley. You know
I don't care. I don't even care. I'm the GM.
I had to be convinced to sign him. It wasn't even really my decision.
It's a favor to his agent.
Yeah, we like that guy. We're hoping to get in on another guy in free agency coming up here.
Actually, he's Seager's agent, so it's a little bit of a you scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Yeah, if he happens to do well, cool. And if not, we'll get over it. We're still I'm over here worried about DeGrom and Scherzer. You think I got time to worry about Tyler Malley? I don't even know how to say his name. Has been proven the last 5 minutes. So that's who we'll see tonight. Tyler Malley, who is excited, as you might imagine, been away from baseball for a while, and he will debut this season against our Houston Astros. I hope it goes poorly for the man. I don't want him to get hurt, But if he's going to give up four in the first two innings, cool. It would be a relaxing night because that would be a departure from what we've seen, well, in the last 10-plus days or so when it comes to Astros hitters. It's been a rough one. I can barely contain myself watching the U.S. women versus Germany. They should have probably two goals already, the U.S. team. They should at least be up by one, but they have been, let's say, wasteful in front of the net. That's what European soccer guys say.
Can't be doing
that. You've been wasteful in front of the net. It's only 20 minutes in, but the Germans have shown a little spunk. Well, a mistake here in the midfield by the U.S. has given the Germans some chances. But right now, the clear opportunities are going the U.S. women's way. We'll see if they can put one away here and try to get some distance away from this German team who beat Canada in their last game. So if you missed it earlier, we did get some of the numbers for this Astros offense and why we may have some concerns about what they do against Tyler Mahle. Over the last four innings last night, they sent 11 men to the plate with a runner on third, and the ball didn't get out of the infield once. We know the only reason they scored a run in the top of the 10th is because the Rangers couldn't stop hitting guys. That was the reason they got that run across. And then when they had a chance to get some insurance, they could not get it done. And that isn't unique. Last night, with the bases loaded, is what they've been throughout the year. They were 1-for-7 with 5 Ks last night. They have an OPS that's only better than two teams in baseball with the bases loaded. They're the Marlins and the historically bad Chicago White Sox. That's where they stand. They are a bad team. When you think you could blow a game open, the Astros are like, no, we're not really interested in that. Let's keep this close so Caleb Ferguson can go blow a game for us, which occurred yesterday. So if Tyler Mahle was going to make a debut against any team, it should be this version of the Astros. Normally, I'd be feeling pretty good. A normal Astros lineup, they would wreck Tyler Mahle. This one, give me three. And hopefully Fromber puts in a good performance, and maybe that'll be enough to get you to the bullpen. So that game's tonight. They're trying to gain some ground on the Mariners, who are now a game and a half up. We can go to this before we close out the break. We've talked about this a little bit. Close out the segment, excuse me. We talked about this a bit throughout the NFL offseason. Brandon Ayuk. I was under the impression that the 49ers would have all the leverage and tell him, hey, you can either come in the camp and practice and play, or we will fine you and you will lose money and we'll dare you to miss regular season games. There's been a turn. The 49ers have now opened up the possibility of trading him. They have offers on the table, which is very weird that we know who the 49ers are not only talking to, but the players involved. We normally don't hear the players that will get traded other than the primary, like Ayuk. The fact that we know the Browns have an offer on the table that includes Amari Cooper and picks, and the Patriots talk about swimming in deep water. Too deep. Kendrick Bourne is the guy they're offering. Now, the only appeal I imagine for the 49ers is they know Kendrick Bourne. He was on their roster. Kyle Shanahan knows him. He played for him for several years. I think the compensation for the Patriots would be a lot more than what the Browns have to offer because, you know, one's Amari Cooper and the other is Kendrick Bourne. The picks would be a lot more for the 49ers. So it depends on what they really want. They don't want to pay Ayuk the money he wants. Cooper would probably ask for an extension too, but if you're all in for a year and you don't want to pay two wide receivers where you're already paying Debo, maybe you treat this like a Stephon Diggs situation. You make the trade. It might cost you more than Stephon Diggs did. In fact, it would because you're trading away Brandon Ayuk. But you go, hey, we're all in. This is a 1 year. And Amari, if things go well, whether we win or not, we'll have a discussion after the year. But right now, we just want you for the year. I'm surprised they're making this trade or willing to make the trade. I thought whether they sign him or not, they'd want him for one more year. Now you have to incorporate, particularly if it's Amari Cooper, a different guy. Now he plays for Kevin Stefanski. The offenses aren't so drastically different, but it's an interesting move for the 49ers to be willing to trade what you might consider their number one. Debo has maybe the bigger name, and he does all the stuff, well, when he wants to run the football, something he doesn't really like doing anymore. He's the after-the-catch guy, but Brandon Ayuk's kind of their safety guy. Like, you need something on third down or just an intermediate catch down the field. He's their guy. and they're decided we're willing to trade you. I wonder if they are requiring a wide receiver, or that's just what we're hearing. Do they really care that they need a frontline wide receiver to make this trade work?
I think it's more of a trying to fill the spot as opposed to signing a free agent.
Or depending on Ricky Pearsall to do it.
Yeah.
I get that.
I would assume it, especially with a guy, I mean, with either guy really, but with Kendrick Bourne, like you mentioned, being a former 49er. I think that plays a part in it, is the swapping in, basically, and you're getting worse, but that's also why you're getting
the picks that make up for it. Sure.
Yeah.
It seems the easier proposition, particularly if you have to acquire a receiver to make up for him, is to pay Brandon Ayuk. But if the asking price is too high and you think you can get reasonable production with Cooper and then move on from Cooper if you don't want to keep him, I understand the logic.
Yeah, I don't know how, if you're the Browns, how upgrading from Cooper to Ayuk is worth it.
Yeah, because we're not even really thinking about it from the other side. I get why the Patriots would want to do it. They need a number one for eventually when Drake May takes over, even if it isn't this year. But
they also have a quarterback on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
Look at the Texans. You can pay a lot of guys when your quarterback's on a rookie contract. Make it a little bit easier for him to assimilate. It'll be a nice change of pace from being at North Carolina with all those okay wide receivers. Tez Walker, awesome. Seventh round pick.
All of a sudden, wide receivers catching.
He was talking about like a messiah when he came back, and he was a seventh round pick.
Yeah, I know. All that campaigning for Tez Walker.
And so you want to make it a little bit easier. You want to give him Brandon Ayuk, who's a guy who's not only a good wide receiver, but also what he's good at is creating separation, making those throws a little bit easier for your quarterback. I don't understand why you do that if you're already paying Deshaun Watson what the Browns are paying Deshaun Watson. You already have Amari Cooper there. I imagine they have some chemistry. I don't know. I don't know if they have any chemistry because they probably haven't actually played together very much, mostly through fault of Deshaun Watson. But I just – that's the one where I don't really understand the – that or – I can see that negotiation falling apart. That negotiation with Ayuk on a contract being a little bit harder than the Patriots, who I imagine have a little bit more open of a pocketbook.
Yeah, and the Patriots have a couple young receivers that they drafted that they may want to put a number one ahead of as they try to acclimate to the NFL. So it certainly makes some sense for them. I'm not sure Brandon Ayuk is looking to catch passes from Brissett and then a rookie quarterback. But once you get your money, I guess you're fine.
Yeah.
I guess you're fine. Oof.
Who'd you think you were going to get traded to? Like,
I think he maybe thought he was getting traded to the Steelers at one point.
Oh, great. Yeah, and God forbid you catch passes from Drake May. But, yeah, let me get this Russ and Justin
I don't know if
Fields
you've heard,
life.
People love themselves from Justin Fields. People love Justin Fields, right or wrong.
I'm sure he's a great guy.
No, I mean as a quarterback. I'm not just talking about as a person.
Oh.
People love Justin Fields. They always talk about – only if you could harness this and harness that. Look at all the talent. I've been saying this for years now.
I trust Arthur Smith to do that.
Turn Tannehill into something. I mean, I've seen Tannehill. Okay. The fact that he became run the football, throw the ball in the middle field, and play action. It worked for Tannehill.
What did he do with Ritter and Heinicke?
I mean, he was the head coach at that point.
Oh, okay.
As the OC.
He has too many plates. Yeah, he's been
juggling too many things. Okay. He doesn't have the ability to do that. But as an OC.
Desmond Ritter, an NFL player. Yeah,
he could turn an average quarterback into an above average quarterback with a dominant running game, like he did with Tannehill.
Okay, good. Great.
And that's all he needs. Great. One of the best, a generational back. That's all he needs in Pittsburgh.
Probably like one of two Hall of Fame running backs in the last like 10 years.
Sure, Sean.
If you really think about it, there's not that many Hall of Fame running backs that have been drafted of late.
Very true. Derrick Henry happened to be one of them, and you paired him with Tannehill, and all of a sudden, look at that. He also had AJ Brown there.
Oh. Wow, what a great
Arthur Brown, what a great play caller, right? Hand the ball off, suck the defense up, and throw it to the giant wide receiver coming across the middle in the in-breaking routes. Brilliant.
And luckily they have all those things in Pittsburgh.
George Pickens and Najee Harris, not exactly the same. Najee, Najee and Derrick Henry wear the same number. That's about the only comparison.
There we go.
And they both played at Alabama.
There we go.
All the comps are coming together.
Look at that. That's the same picture, sir. That's the same picture.
A.J. Brown, SEC, George Pickens, SEC. We got it all coming together.
Okay. That's a little bit of a stretch.
I'm just trying to find a fit.
When'd you go conference? They played in the same conference, especially the SEC.
They played on the same field at one point, not the same time.
No, definitely not. No. Unless one of them was a kick return and the other one was on the coverage team when they're a freshman. I don't think so.
Just trying to find a way to make it work in Pittsburgh for whatever reason. We got a couple more seconds to go. Speaking of college football, we'll get into the polls. The coaches poll is out. Really no big surprises, but we'll talk about it. Where did some of these teams rank? Who's the overwhelming number one? Who got first place votes? We'll get into that when we come back.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Okay. Welcome back. Sean and I were having a discussion about college football. Not a serious one, mostly because Pitbull, we're doing it during the break as we get ready to tell you about the polls. Pitbull is the official entrepreneur of FIU football. What does that mean? I'm not really sure. It just means he will have the ability to have access to FIU Stadium for 10 days a year. You would think that would mean concerts, but I think Pitbull does bigger crowds than FIU's building.
He could probably do Hard Rock 10 times.
Yeah, if he wanted to. Yeah, so I'm not
in a row.
Is it just to have his kids run around if he wants them to? Hold, like, camps?
Is it going to be called, like, Pitbull Field or something?
I think it's getting a new name. I think, and Pitbull.
Yeah, he's purchasing naming rights.
Yeah, so Pitbull will name FIU Stadium. I'm sure it'll be have Pitbull. Will it be Mr. 305 Field?
It's Pitbull Stadium.
Okay, Pitbull Stadium. It should be Mr. 305 Field at Pitbull Stadium.
Oh,
let's get all of it.
He gets both naming
get
rights.
Get all of it. Yeah, so that's going on.
T.Y. Hilton doesn't get anything. Wow, okay.
Hey, man, okay. Donate some more money. I mean, you made a lot of money beating the Texans deep. Donate some of it to the Panthers of FIU.
I'm so glad I had no one else to go to other than T.Y. Hilton. So
I think there's a linebacker right now. Like, okay. I don't remember his name. But yeah, it's T.Y. Hilton, and pretty much that's it as far as famous FIU football Panthers are concerned. So Pitbull will be deep into college football if you care about FIU, and that's about it. I'm just saying. Not a lot of rivalries I can think of outside of FAU for FIU, but Pitbull will be a part of college football coming up this season.
FIU did not receive a vote in the coaches' poll.
Surprising. Maybe the I
not
thought
that
the
surprising.
Pit I thought
not
the,
that surprising.
I thought the Pitbull bump might have helped them. So just get one vote just for notoriety. Some guys do throw the joke vote out there just so people will pay attention to them and their vote. So the teams who did get first place votes: Georgia, number one overall, with 46 first-place votes, Ohio State with 7, they are second, and Texas, who is fourth, gets one first-place vote, and Oregon at 3 got none. The one other team who got a first-place vote are the Michigan Wolverines, who come in at 8 with 1. Michigan, maybe that's one of those people like, hey, they're the defending national champions. I don't care that their roster is going to be completely unrecognizable from what I saw last year. They're number one until someone beats them. That might happen pretty early with Texas going in, and maybe Michigan's head coach won't be involved in that game. We will see. It will be tradition for Michigan at this point to have their head coach missing games early in the year. It's what they do. If you missed it, the NCAA notice of allegations came down for Michigan and Tron Moore, their new head coach after Harbaugh. You might even say fled to the Chargers in the NFL because he knew what was coming down. He is in hot water for his what you would call obstruction of the investigation when it came to the Connor Stallions cheating scandal at Michigan. So the top 10 as it goes, I gave you Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas, followed by Alabama, Ole Miss, Notre Dame, Michigan, Penn State, and Florida State. Sean, if I gave you one team to take out because you just think it's ridiculous, maybe because of vibes, maybe because of just your inherent bias, who are you taking out of the top 10?
Of the top 10, I'd say, I mean, it's not that interesting to go probably Penn State or Florida State. The teams there are 9 or 10.
Sure.
Get Penn State out of there. Get Penn State out of there. Move Florida State up to 9.
And who are you replacing Penn State with?
Utah at 10.
I like that one. I'm a fan of the Utah program, despite their bastardization of the U they throw up. But it's like a skinny thing that they do. It's the worst that they do. Yeah, it's that. It's awful. It's like framing a picture. That's what they do.
Yeah.
It's terrible. But I agree. Penn State, mostly because I don't believe in Drew Aller. I've seen that act. Their defense is probably good enough to keep them in that range and maybe make the playoff. But a true top 10 team, of all the top 10 teams, we start to look at the quarterbacks on their rosters. Other than Uiagalelei and Orji at Michigan, who's great in EA College Football 25, but not a lot of people know about him as far as an actual player in reality.
real life.
The Drew Aller thing would immediately take Penn State out for me. I can't trust that guy.
Yeah, there's a lot of SEC teams up here that I'm not sure that you need to have, like LSU. I mean, I'm okay putting it LSU at like 15, and then moving up like a Kansas State. I mean, I think Tennessee should be where Missouri is. I think Tennessee's going to be good this year. That's more projection, though.
I think
Tennessee's going to be
good. Yeah, I wouldn't go the opposite of that per se, but I would probably move Missouri instead of Penn State. I like Missouri. I like
Missouri ahead of Penn State, but I like Tennessee better than Missouri.
I understand that. They have a bit of a rivalry. What's the Eli Drinkwitz and Josh Heupel have a bit of a back and forth. You know, coaches at the midfield stripe. Given handshakes or not, they have an issue. They've had words.
I remember that.
Yeah, so we'll see who finishes ahead. Some of the other ones that are recognized: well, Oklahoma, SEC school now too, number 16 in the country behind Tennessee. Clemson back at 14, lower than they normally are, but I guess people expecting a bounce back year after their struggles last year.
Can I say I think 14 for Clemson's like perfect because I think they'll win 8 or 9 games.
Sure.
They'll be fine.
And right on the outskirts of the playoffs, maybe fighting, but not a playoff team.
There's no one ahead of them that I feel like they're comfortably better than, and then everyone worse or everyone lower than them. I'm like,
there's no real argument to elevate one of those teams ahead of them.
I mean, Kansas State's the only one that I would kind of throw out there. Either Kansas State or Oklahoma State. Probably not both, but whichever one you think is going to be better.
I can't deal with Kansas State because I saw their quarterback's TikToks.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's not great.
That's a tough look. Also, has a little bit of Alex Orji in him. That's a weird thing to say. But he has a little bit of the – he got to play a little bit more than Orji last year, but he also did not exactly prove himself throwing the football.
No. It was Avery Johnson?
Avery Johnson. Yes, we should have said his name. Avery Johnson.
Not related to the famous one.
No.
Looks nothing like him.
Nothing like him.
No.
If you understand what we're saying.
How obvious do we have to be?
He looks like he's a quarterback for Kansas State, not related to former point guard and Dallas Mavericks head coach Avery Johnson.
True.
And Alabama head coach.
Let's not forget his time in the SEC, of course. More important than coaching in the finals with the Mavericks. Coaching at Alabama in the SEC.
Win the finals, all right?
Yeah, if you would have won it, that should go above your name when we start to talk about you. I also give him, you know, championship point guard.
I gave him Spurs point guard.
Championship point guard.
Okay.
I mean, it was a Duncan Robinson joint, but still, championship point guard.
Miami at 19.
Makes sense. The roster says they probably could be even better than that. They're a real playoff contender, except for the guy who calls all the shots.
Yeah, I think they have a better team. Okay. If Dabo Sweeney and
Mario
Cristobal played a game, like just right now, if Miami and Clemson played a game, I think it's close. It probably depends on where it's played, whether it's home or away for either team. But it's like a coin flip in my head. Maybe I give a slight edge to Clemson. If Dabo then walked to the other sideline and Mario walked to the other sideline, and Miami head coach Dabo Sweeney beats Mario Cristobal
by 3 touchdowns at least. Now, they played last year. And Miami won that game in overtime with the backup quarterback. So
yeah, that's why it's so coin flippy.
So Cristobal would say, excuse me?
No.
But when they're at their best, when they have both programs humming and both teams are at their absolute best this year, I think you're right. If you flip the coaches, Miami with their quarterback and their running back and what could be their wide receiver core. I think they beat a Clemson coach, Chris Ball team by multiple scores.
Yeah, that's just something where that's what makes Miami so hard. I mean, oh man, I don't want to do it to them. They have a little bit of Jimbo Fisher A&M in them, where you line up the guys, you drop the Cam Ward, the running back from
Damian Martinez.
Restrepo,
Jacoby George, Sam Brown from Houston.
Is it Reuben Bain?
Reuben Bain, the all-world freshman from last year. Yeah.
They have dudes all over the place. It's like, yeah, I don't know.
The problem is they have one dude on the sideline.
Yeah, the guy that wears the headset who, like, cost them a game, who definitively added a loss to their – took away a win and added a loss to their record last year. I just cannot –
Stop it!
I just can't – I can't bet on this guy.
Why would you? It's a dumb proposition. Yeah, that team was 4-0, undefeated, probably would have been a top 10 team, and would have eventually gotten a 6-0. And who knows how their season plays out if they don't lose that game. Tyler Van Dyke was broken in that game anyway from throwing all the interceptions, but maybe he recovers because they win. Just take a knee. Of course, it wasn't actually a fumble. His knee was down. I mean, his elbow was down, but yeah. Whatever. Just take
play stupid games when
yeah, exactly. Presses. With you playing with stupid college refs, you're going to get burned at some point. Of course, don't give up the two plays, the three play Haynes King 75-yard touchdown
that
drive
too.
You might not want to do that. Yes, I'm reliving an awful memory. Thanks, Sean.
Sorry,
but
Texas A&M number 20.
Mike Elko may be more competent than Jimbo Fisher, and that's funny to say considering Jimbo Fisher is a national title winning head coach. But I think there's more confidence in Mike Elko. He's one of their guys in the fact that he coached there previously. He raised Duke to a level where, you know, they were at Wake Forest level, and then they bring on Mike Elko, and they hope he can elevate the A&M program simply being a better coach than Jimbo. That would help a little bit.
I kind of believe in this.
I believe he will be better for them than Jimbo Fisher was.
I think 20 is fine for them.
That's fine. And the rest of the way, you got USC, Lincoln Riley at 23, Kansas at 24, Iowa at 25. Iowa, a lot of people think, can be a playoff contender.
Yeah, disrespectful to Iowa.
Yeah, it's funny. There's a dark horse Iowa in the playoff thing, partly because it's 12 teams. Well, mostly because it's 12 teams. But they're starting at 25. Well, they might want to prove they can score three touchdowns in a game. If, that might help the cause.
If Ferentz and Cristobal swap sidelines. No, I'm just kidding. Delalaye would commit suicide.
I know Mario can suffocate his team by his own decisions. But sitting through Iowa football with Miami colors on, they would win more games. Though it just would be a very entertaining watch.
It would be terrible.
I'm like, why is Cam Ward in the I formation handing the ball off so many times? But they would win more because Ferentz, despite his issues with, you know, hiring his son to be his OC, is a better game day coach than Mario Cristobal. Get ready, Miami. Your starting corners get ready for the Riley Moss, Cooper DeJean, and whoever else the next guy is in Miami starting at corner.
That might be my new favorite game this football season is Mario Cristobal and this guy swap sidelines.
And see who wins and by how much. Yeah, it's a game I've played myself, mostly because they could have hired Lane Kiffin, but they didn't.
Do they play Duke this year?
Oh, with Manny?
I can't wait to play that game that week.
I may just not show up that week, particularly if the Monday after means Duke won and I have to deal with it. We'll see. Well, we've got to plan out our football season. Monday we'll be devoted to the NFL and the Texans, but Tuesday we probably are going to go all in on college football, which is another reason you guys should stake your claim. I've mentioned that before. 7137. Yeah, probably not. Don't do it now. But at some point, as we continue to go forward, you guys are going to need to stake your claim with your teams. Thomas called in. We know he's an LSU fan. We have a guy named Longhorn Keith. He only called in the once because we were talking college football. He said he'd be back during college football season. Clearly, we know who he roots for. That's part of the deal. You can't just call in and not tell us who you root for because we either going to slander you or congratulate you depending on what your team did. Sean and I are open to it. Sean's probably going to have a much better season than me.
Higher risk, higher reward.
Definitely. So we'll see about that going forward. We got one more segment to go here before Gallant and George. We will be back.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
So, we talked about Tytus Howard, and not really his immediate future, but what might happen going forward with Blake Fisher coming on. Well, Tytus Howard was walked into the medical tent earlier today in practice and then driven off the practice field in a golf cart. What it means, I don't know, because that's all we're getting out of the reporting so far. When D'Amico speaks, he may dance around it too, maybe just simply because he doesn't know yet. But Tytus Howard did not make it through practice, driven off the field in a golf cart. That's not great. I guess we can remove him from playing on Friday. So we'll get Blake Fisher probably at left tackle with Laremy Tunsil not playing. You would hope Laremy would play, but there's no indication that he would. So we'll see where Blake Fisher winds up if both those guys are unavailable on Friday for different reasons. Do we bring this on him by all our conversations? We didn't do it, right?
No. Because we didn't
wish injury. Well, no. You did say.
I said it's a reality of football that offensive linemen get hurt.
I can't be blamed. You can, though, because you mentioned injury.
No, I got proven right. That's what I got.
You can set it up any way you want. But either way,
no.
You mentioned a potential injury, and look at that.
Sean knows ball.
Minutes later.
Sean knows ball.
Well, congratulations. You suggested an injury might happen in football. Look, ball knower, Sean Mapes.
Ball knower.
All I know is you cursed.
Real ball knowledge only.
You cursed the man. That's one of the worst comments you can say to someone, and it's almost like you can't say anything else other than, whatever, dude. You don't know ball.
Just
tell someone you don't know ball.
It is such an argument in there. Yeah. Sorry, you don't know ball.
You don't know ball, and there's really nothing you can do because, you would think that way because you don't know ball. They packed you up.
Yeah. No, I do know ball. I don't think you do.
Only non-ball knowers would say that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just a repetitive
thing. It's so juvenile, but
you never win.
Perfect.
You never win. Speaking of juvenile, Malik Nabers, while he was walking back to the huddle, the Giants were playing practicing against the Lions. There was a fight yesterday. While he was walking back to the huddle, it might have been just one-on-ones. He slapped Kirby Joseph in the head, the Lions corner, and then, of course, that started a brawl.
Yeah.
Started
a
giant brawl. I don't know you. Why are you hitting me in the head? In fact, I don't like you very much. We've been going against each other for the last couple of days. You're going to slap me in the head?
Yeah.
Of course, they both had helmets on. In fact, they have, what are the Guardian caps on, too. Didn't matter. Kirby Joseph wasn't having it. Started another brawl. So Malik Nabers has been a force just by his play.
He's also a force to the back of Kirby Joseph's head.
He also delivered some force to the back of Kirby Joseph's head, and it started a fight. So I think we're going to hear a lot from Malik Nabers in multiple ways throughout the year.
Yeah.
Maybe the Chargers will regret it. Maybe the Giants will because he can't stay on the field. I feel like he's unsportsmanlike penalty waiting to happen.
New York Post is like, yes, got another Odell.
Very true. If he's gonna be great and be a personality, I think you're right. They may have their new back page boy.
LSU wide receiver too.
It all fits. We're making all these comps. Malik Nabers may be the next one. We're done. Glanton George up next here. I'm sure as sound comes from Texans camp, they'll give you an update on Tytus Howard. I like how I'm setting the agenda for their show.
Yeah, it feels like you're telling me to get sound.
No, I'm not telling you that. I'm just saying if they don't provide you with sound, they've let you all down.
They've let you down?
Yes.
We have a DJ live from Ohio at 2:30.
Oh, so he'll be able to.
Yeah.
A great update on what happened to Tytus Howard. You can hear DJ Bienname a little bit later today with Glanton George. I'm done. The Killer Bees, follow them. And since I'm done, what does that mean, Sean?
We did it!
Well, I did it. Because Sean has to keep working. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.